In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
When God chose Israel, he chose Israel to have leaders. There were three groups of leaders. I would say priests, prophets, and the king. The priest was concerned with the liturgy, the prophets with the word of God, and the king governing the people. But the king was never above the prophet. The prophet would always be the one who would speak the word to the king from God. And the prophet would speak the word to the priests when they were wrong. And he would cause, or she would cause them to get on the right foot. Many times the prophets were killed. We know about Jeremiah. As Jeremiah called the people to repentance, no one wanted to hear it, and they put him in a cistern. I am reading from Amos, the 7th chapter, verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel. Now Bethel is in the northern kingdom. To Jeroboam, king of Israel. Okay, so Amaziah is the priest of the northern kingdom, and Jeroboam is the king of the northern kingdom. He said to Amos, the prophet, hath conspired against thee. He says to the king, Amos has conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear the words of Amos. For thus Amos says, Jeroboam shall die, that's the king, by the sword, and Israel, the northern kingdom, surely will be led captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go flee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. In other words, you know, the priest said to the prophet, get out of the northern kingdom. Go back to your own land, to Judah, to the land in the south, not the northern kingdom, to where you come from. Go prophesy there. Go do your work there. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel. Now, Bethel was the shrine in the northern kingdom, for it is the king's chapel. And it is the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah the priest, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman, and I gathered sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people, Israel, in the northern kingdom. Isn't this something? You see, prophets were in families at this time. And prophets hung around together. There was the major prophet and the minor prophets. But one day, as Amos was being a herdsman gathering sycamore fruit, the Lord said to him, go prophesy to the northern kingdom. Go to Bethel and prophesy, because this is where I'm sending you, because they don't want to hear the word of the Lord. Now, therefore, hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel in the northern kingdom. Drop not your word against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, Amaziah. Thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by a line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity, forth of his land. And so we see. You know, this is amazing. This is amazing because only God can do things like this. He chooses the most unlikely to go and prophesy to the northern kingdom. He chooses the most, but they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the word of God. You want to know why? To hear the word of God means to change. To hear the word of God means to repent. To hear the word of God means that I have to change my direction. They said, get out of here, you dirty old prophet. Go back to your own land. We want nothing to do with you. You are such a scourge to us. We're having a good time. We're eating food. We're drinking drink. And you're prophesying doom. You're saying that we are cheating the poor. Oh, yes, that was the thing. Listen to what it says. Hear this, ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, falsifying the balances by deceit. In other words, what they were doing in the time of Amos in the northern kingdom is they were cheating the poor. They were cheating the poor. And God always cares for the underdog. Are you the underdog today? God cares for you. Jesus cares for you. The Holy Spirit cares for you. Are you the underdog today? I'm telling you, the underdog can become a great man of God, a great woman of God, if he or she would place his or her trust in the hands of the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes, Amos was sent to the northern kingdom to preach repentance because they were ripping off the poor. And I'm telling you, when you rip off the poor, you rip off Jesus Christ. I remember Bishop Ryer. He was at one time, now he's in heaven, one time the Archbishop of Jerusalem, Bishop Ryer. And when he got there, he saw that the poor were being so uncared for. So he started to sell the lands in Jerusalem that the church owned. And as he sold the lands with the church owned, the pillars of the church came to him and said, you have no right to do this. Who gives you the power to sell our land? And Bishop Ryer said, Jesus Christ gives me the power to sell the church's land. I am the archbishop. We must care for the poor. The pillars of the church said, we spit on the poor. And Bishop Ryer said, and Jesus Christ spits on you. Yes, for what you do to the least of my friends, you do unto me. Yes, in the northern kingdom, they were ripping off the poor. So God anointed a man that was not a prophet, that was not from a family of prophets, but a man that tended the flock and tended sycamore trees and got the fruit of sycamore trees, you know? And he said, go prophesy. You see, God knows how to choose people, usually the most unlikely people, usually the most unlikely people. Jeremiah said, I'm too young. How can I go, you know? God chooses the most unlikely people. That's why he's choosing you. You say, yeah, but I don't think he is. Yes, I'm telling you, he's choosing you to do something for him. He's choosing you to make a difference. He's choosing you because he's got nobody else. I'm telling you this. He's got nobody else. Imagine he had to choose Darius and Cyrus in the Old Testament to rebuild the Temple of Jerusalem. They were two pagan kings, and they were the ones that got the temple rebuilt. He had to choose pagans. Imagine God knows who he's choosing. If he could choose pagans, he can choose you. If he can choose a farmer to be a prophet, he can choose you to go and do his work and to be his son and to make a difference in the church and in the world. Let me just say one thing about the church, okay? Because I think we are really mistaken in the church, especially in the Catholic Church, okay? We see that the Bible tells us that the stone which the builders rejected, those are the Jews, has become the cornerstone, and that stone is Jesus. And that because the Jewish people, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Most of the Jewish people did not receive him. He gave himself to the Gentiles. This is just real. This is just real. That it became more of a Gentile church. And even though it started as a Jewish church, it became more of a Gentile church. But there are so many Catholics that think, because we have the fullness of truth, God can't do that to us. Well, let me just tell you, God can do anything he wants. Because you see, what God is looking for is simple faith. Faith that moves mountains and people that give themselves to him. Yes, we might have the fullness of faith. Yes, we do have the fullness of faith. But I'm also telling you, the Lord does not need to use us. If we say no, he can go to anyone he wants. He went to Darius and Cyrus, two pagan kings, to do his work. He went to Amos, a herdsman and a tender of sycamore trees, to be his prophet. He does not need the Catholic Church. We need the Lord of the Catholic Church. We need Jesus. Let me just tell you that. He does not need, oh yes, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That's right. But the church doesn't need to look like it looks like today. It can be a remnant of a remnant of a remnant of a remnant that it is today. And you know who said that? Benedict the 16th, when he was Joseph Ratzinger. Yes, he said that as a young priest, that the church in the years to come would be a remnant of a remnant of a remnant of a remnant. But I'm telling you this, God can choose anyone that's willing. God will choose anyone that's willing. God will choose anyone who has a degree of faith. God will choose anyone who gives his life to him. God will choose anyone, and the world might not accept this person, and the church might not accept this person. But I tell you, God accepts this person, and God calls this person onward and upward to do the saving work of the gospel. That's the way God is. That's the way the Father is. He looks for faith. He doesn't look for credentials. He doesn't say to me, oh, yes, you have a master's in divinity. No, God doesn't care if I have a master's in divinity. God cares if I have a heart for his people. God cares if I have faith. God cares if I offer my life a living sacrifice of praise. God cares if I want to live for him. He doesn't care about my degrees. My degrees mean nothing to God. I want you to know that. My degrees mean nothing to God. I remember the old Pentecostal minister saying, I got a degree that nobody else has in this room. I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost and with fire, and that degree came from heaven, and I'm standing on the rock, and my name is on the roll. Yeah, that was his degree. His degree was not something from a university. His degree was not something from a seminary. His degree was from God. I'm not talking about being anti-intellectual. I'm saying that God looks on the heart. He does not look on degrees. God looks on the heart. He does not look on credentials. That's what God looks at. And what does he say in Amos? He says, because you rip off the poor, you're going to suffer. And what is the suffering? Behold, the days will come, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine in the land, and not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north and to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it. Amos promised two things from God, that they would be taken captive to Babylon, and that there would be a famine of the word of God. I tell you, in the United States, there is a famine of the word of God. I was talking with a young man last night, Tadas, and he was telling me of a Chinese family. This Chinese woman became a Christian before the communists came in. Then she gave up her Christianity. Their father and her husband was dying. And she remembered Jesus. And so she called all the family in and said, I am a Christian, and I have denied the Lord, but now we are going to pray that Jesus heal your father. And so they prayed that Jesus would heal the father. And the father, who had cancer of the lung, was completely healed. Oh, now the family give their life to Jesus. This in China. They give their life to Jesus. And now they call in their relatives and they're preaching Jesus. Now the son became very hungry. The son became very hungry for God. And he wanted a Bible. And so you know what happened? He went to the minister that was in hiding and said, could I have a Bible? He says, no, I only have one, and if I give it to you, I'll be in great trouble because they'll come and get me. Bible is in secret. He said, you've got to pray for a Bible. You've got to ask the Lord for a Bible. And so he started praying for a Bible, that God would give him a Bible, that God would give him a Bible, that God would give him a Bible, that God would give, and nothing happened. And then he went again, and the minister said, you've got to cry out to God and you've got to fast. So the guy began to eat just a little bit of rice in the evening, and he began to weep that God would send him a Bible. And he fasted for 100 days. On the 100th day, two people came into his house with the Bible. Nobody knew he was praying. He got his Bible. He started to memorize the Gospels. And to proclaim Jesus. Right now, this man is in prison. This is not a Catholic, but this is a man that had the and has the favor of God. This is a man that put his whole life on the line. This is a man who cried out for a Bible. You know, I think, how many Bibles do I have? And how many Bibles go unread and unstudied? He cried for a Bible. Amos said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and not find it. My friend, this young man who now is in Boston College, says, I go to Mass every day. And what no one tells us of the simple things about prayer, about giving our life to Jesus, about receiving Christ as Savior and Lord. No one tells us of these things. Yes, there is a famine. He's in Boston College. There is a famine of the Word of God. Yes, there is a famine in the Catholic Church of the Word of God. People coming to know Jesus. People coming to give their life to Jesus. People receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. Remember what Paul the Sixth said, that evangelization begins with the house of God. And evangelization means that we come into contact with the living God, with the God who gave his life for us on the cross. Yes, there is a famine of the Word of God. Why do you think my broadcast or the Lord's broadcast has had such an effect on people? Because there are so few Catholics who proclaim the Word of God. There are so few Catholics that know that unless a man be born again or become a new creation or have second conversion, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. We have done a very good job in baptizing. We have not done a very good job in making disciples. I will tell you that much. It is easy to baptize, but baptism is not something that happened when I was 40 days old, but baptism is the life of grace and the life of faith lived out. Yielding my life to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who is God Almighty, allowing myself to become a sacrifice in union with Jesus, offering my body a living sacrifice of praise. Yes, baptism is not something that happened to me 100 years ago. Baptism is the life of grace and the life of faith lived now. I live out my baptismal life. And I'm telling you, if the Catholics don't do it, God will choose other people as he chose the Gentiles from the Jews. God does not need me. I need him. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the Catholic Church. We have the sacraments, but I tell you, to whom much is given, much is expected. If God does not use the Catholic Church because we do not give ourselves living sacrifices of praise, we are not like Amos that allow ourselves to be called to preach the Word of God even though we don't know how to do it, but he teaches us how to do it. That we are the most unlikely people to go and to proclaim the Word of God. I'm telling you, if God doesn't find it in the Catholic Church, he will find it someplace else, and it's just like that. He doesn't need me. I need him. You must give your life to him. You must stop thinking you are insignificant. There are things that God is calling you to do, and only you can do them. There are things and people that God is calling you to meet, and only you can meet them. There are people God the Father is calling you to talk about his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and only you can do it. You must hear my word today. If you do not do it, he will send somebody else. And I cannot even think of him choosing somebody else and not choosing me. I'm that selfish. So I say to you, my friend, allow yourself to be used today. Allow yourself to go beyond the box that you are in. Allow yourself to become a Catholic Christian that gives his life to Jesus, that no matter what he asks of you, you will do it by the grace of the living God. By the grace of the living God. Father, I ask you to raise up people in the name of Jesus. I ask that you would do miracles through them. I ask that you would choose the weak of the world to confound the wise, even as you chose Francis over 800 years ago. I ask you to choose many people like Francis that would give their life unto Jesus Christ and unto the church and would go about proclaiming the word of God in season and out of season. We have had a famine of the word of God so long. We need that your word would come forth, O God, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listen, I need to hear from you. You are in WFAX. I need to hear from you. I cannot stay on in your area unless I hear from you. I need to hear from people in Michigan. I never hear from people in Michigan. I need to hear from people in Albuquerque. I rarely hear from people in Albuquerque. I need to hear from people in Iowa. I need to hear from people in Boston. Yes, in Boston. You hear me every day. I need to hear from you. We need to pay our bills. I'm on WROL and WEZE, and our bills are very, very expensive on these two stations, and I cannot go on unless you help me. I need to hear from people on WACE. I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. I need to hear from people all around the country so that we can pay our bills. The mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Here I am. I come to do thy will. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.